Thanks for listening to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast. Also check out our website, www.redbluffvineyard.church, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you want to stay connected more, also download the Red Bluff Vineyard Church app on the Google or Apple stores.
All right. Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. Hopefully you are too. Hopefully you came to church excited to be here. I'm really happy about this morning. First of all, obviously to be back in Red Bluff and to be with, you know, there's just something really beautiful about worshiping with community, people that you are with and you love and you know. And I just wanted to let you know how much seeing each one of you walking into the doors was like, I don't know, my heart was I felt good. So, and it's all about me. So, anyway,
that's awkward.
But hey, so we've been in this sermon series for a while called How to Wreck Your Life in the Best Way Possible. And we've been exploring different ways to wreck your life. And this morning, I'm joined by Doug and Sue, and I wanted to have them kind of help share some things with us in regard to that, I guess in that direction. But before we do that, most of you probably have seen Doug and Sue. They've been here for about a year and have been involved in a lot of different things. And how many of you know Breadman, just out of curiosity? Okay. Like all over, yeah, all over the community, people are like, oh, Breadman goes to your church? I'm like, he has a nickname that people know? And I found out why, but at first I was like, that's an awkward nickname to have. But you drove a bread truck for a long time, so.
Yeah, a lot of the kids say, Birdman? And I go, no, dude, it's Breadman. And so they say, so like, why do they call you Breadman? So I do some work in probation and I started working inside juvenile hall, and the kids started calling me Breadman. So, it just rolled over on itself for like close to 20 years. And so if some new kid would show up and they'd go, why they call you Breadman? And I'd just tell them, go, can't tell you. You'll just have to figure it out. So I've had a lot of fun with that.
That's awesome. So Doug and Sue, why don't you, so this is Sue, Doug's better 3/4.
Thanks.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, she's great. Doug had hip surgery somewhat recently, and Sue's been driving him all around, so that's why I'm saying she's probably the 3/4 of the good stuff. But why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves, I know you guys haven't been in Red Bluff your whole time. Just for anybody here who might not know you, just share a little bit briefly about yourself, Sue, and then Doug.
Okay, we came here about 44 years ago. Doug moved up here. If any of you have been around for a long time, might recognize the name Prairie Market. We were young. We had just got married. We thought that's what we wanted to do, was just go around and open stores in different areas. And we drove into Red Bluff. Well, first we lived in Woodland for a year, and I cried every day, every single day. We drove into Red Bluff, and I told Doug, if you move me here, I'll never ask for anything again. Which was a lie, but we knew from the minute we drove in that it was a beautiful place and someplace we thought we would want to stay. So we stayed here, and we have three children. Our oldest is Kristen, and she's a dental hygienist, and our second oldest is Matt, and he works as a teacher in a high school in Ely, Nevada. And our third is Jim, and he works for Wing Solar. So we've just been here and stayed here and loved it.
Yeah, Red Bluff's been good to us. I've done a lot of things working with youth in the community, and I see one of my old Mercy High School football players sitting over here. Kind of surprised the heck out of me, but it's really been a blessing to like be involved in coaching football and be involved with kids, and I think as the story goes, I'm going to try to tell you how, I don't know, like one thing led to another, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, so like Sue said, we moved up here and opened that grocery store, and then we found out that looked like the thing was probably doomed. So the bread dude recruited me out of the grocery store and said, "Hey, you know, if you want a job, we'll put you to work." And so I kind of wanted a job, and so I went to work for Rainbow Bread here in town. Drove a route here for close to 30 years, and that's about what happened there. And then 7 years ago, I got to retire off of the bread route, and I went to work for Tama County Juvenile Probation, and met a lot of kids there, met Sheila's son there, met a lot of kids there, and I don't know, I just know that as the way things go, God prepares you for what he has prepared for you. And I just look back at all of the things that led up to working with the high-risk kids. It was just something that God prepared me to do, and it's just what I do. But I still miss football.
The question is, do the players miss you?
Ask Jake.
So how did you get to the Vineyard? You just stumbled here one day.
Yeah, we just stumbled in. No, it was during the car fire. And like everyone else in town, you know, we were seeing it on TV. We were hearing it on the radio. And we wanted to do something. But on your own, you know, I couldn't just drive up to the fire and say, "Here I am." So I saw a post on Facebook from Alexis that said that the Vineyard was collecting things and doing things to help. So I gathered my stuff together. My daughter gathered her stuff together, and we came down. When we got here, there was a sign-up sheet for housing, people to spend the night and stay, and we were going to house people that were displaced by the fire. And so God just spoke to me and said that I needed to sign up, and that if I was going to sign up, wasn't going to sign up for the easy shift that was the middle of the day, I would sign up for the middle of the night. Now, if you know me, that's not my time of day. So that really was a sacrifice. And then I didn't know anybody else who was going to be there. And that's also way out of my comfort zone. I like to have a buddy with me. So I came, and as it turns out, Jan Simmons was there. And I've known Jan for years and years. Our kids are similar ages. And so she made me feel really welcome. And she introduced me to the other people there. And we just had the best night sitting and visiting. We didn't have very many people staying here, but I went home and I told Doug, I said, "This is where we need to be. This church has something. Not exactly sure how to explain it, but there's something here, and I'd like to be a part of it." And so
you've been here ever since?
We've been here ever since.
Cool. And Doug, you went along with it, though.
Well, actually, you know, when Sue came home after that car fire adventure, she goes, "Doug," she says, "I had the most awesome time." She says, "I just like got to sit there, and I got to talk to like the nicest people." And I want to take a side street from right there, because I don't know if some of you guys know that we're raising a 7-year-old, right? Well, Kenna's mom decided, she thought that she wanted to sign up and do a shift for down here, right? Mm-hmm. And so she comes home and she tells me a couple days later, "Dad," says, "I had the most awesome time." And she says, "I think that I wouldn't mind going and checking that out," even though she didn't, but
she's come twice. Give her some credit.
Okay, all right. She's been
so judgmental up here.
All right. I'm sorry. So anyway, so I was listening to what Morgan was saying and what Sue was saying, and it totally matched up. It was like, "Dude, you got to go check this out. So you're going to, you know, this is something you got to go." So I was involved at another church in town, a larger church. And, you know, I mean, I was you know, I wasn't an every Sunday kind of guy, but, you know, I mean, I'd go. And I thought I was, you know, pretty happy there. And the only thing is I'd usually have to go by myself because Sue just, like, didn't fit there for whatever reason. She just couldn't find a group of women that she felt comfortable with, right? So we decided, with all of that being said, that we're going to go check Vineyard out. And I remember the first Sunday that we were here, we walked in, and it was like, dude, I so see what you're telling me. You know what I mean? The people are, like, open, they're friendly, they're loving, they shake your hand, you know? And it was like, I've been in other places where it didn't operate quite like that. So anyway, so at the end of that story, we all decided that this is where we need to be. So in the process of this is where we need to be, I can't speak for her, but I've always thought in the back of my mind that I wanted to be involved in some church. And I made a couple of stabs at a couple of different places, but it just, like, didn't work out like the vision that I had in my mind. And this time, I remember I told Sue when we came to Vineyard here, is this time we're going to get involved. And somehow I let this knucklehead talk me into to doing something that it's like, I don't know, I just feel so underprepared to be sitting up here talking about what we're going to talk about. But I'm pretty happy to be here, and I'm pretty happy to be involved. So
just to kind of bring everybody up to speed on what role Doug and Sue are going to be serving in the Vineyard is, and they're going to be basically overseeing our outreach ministries. We have to get a really cool title, like Outreach Directors of Missions or something cool. But we're really excited about that because one thing that I've seen consistently in their life and just heard from people all over is that Doug and Sue have been doing that forever. I mean, like, there's very few people that have been in Red Bluff for a long time who don't know these two from some capacity. So it just was obviously their gifting. And there's a lot of pastoral gifting. And so just delighted to have them as part of our team. These two are going to be basically stepping into that role. So from now on, if you have a vision for any outreach type of things, or if you're like, oh, I would love to be a part of the outreach team or do certain outreaches, these are the two people you should talk to. This Friday, I know we have something going on.
Yeah, in Rancho Tehama, they're doing a tailgate food giveaway. I think it's the last one of the season. And the people have to come and stand in line for quite a period of time to get their food. And so our vision is just to walk among the people and hand out water. You don't have to, you're not preaching, you're not anything else, you're just loving on other people. So we'd like as many people as we can. We haven't exactly got a setup time yet, but as many people as we can to come and...
What time would that be on Friday?
It's at 10. What? 8:30.
Okay.
8:30.
So if you're interested in being a part of that, talk to Sue or Doug. Okay, so let me ask you this. So we're in this sermon series called How to Wreck Your Life, and it's kind of been this idea of how you can be going about life in a certain direction and everything's going good, and then there's certain things that God does or invites us into that seemingly wrecks our life. You know, like you're going one direction and everything is good, and then God gets involved in the equation and everything that you had previously planned or the way that you measured success or the way that you measured happiness changes because of the kingdom of God and the nature of the kingdom of God. So how is that happening for the two of you? I mean, how have you had your lives wrecked by God?
Well.
For the good.
Kids, I guess, would be the biggest area. When our oldest kids were like 17 and 19, we decided that we were such amazing parents and that some child would so benefit from our love and care that we should adopt. And so we went through, jumped through all the hoops and went through California State Adoptions. And before we were even completely signed up, and keep in mind, we felt like God had put somebody out there for us, that there was somebody with our name on them that was just waiting. So before we were even all the way finished with all the paperwork, they called me at the beginning of December and said, we have a kid and he needs to be placed by Friday. It's like, well, I probably should talk to my husband. So we called Doug and we went and met him. He's 6 years old and just as cute as could be. And we decided that this must be the one. This is it. And so
we met him at McDonald's in Oroville.
Oroville, yeah.
Bought him a Happy Meal. Rest is history.
But we weren't that amazing a parents. We weren't that good at it. We got lucky with our first two. They are amazing kids. But Jim gave us a run for the money every single day. Still does. And he'll be the first one to admit it. I'm not talking behind his back. He knows he does. And so I just think God has a real sense of humor there, thinking, you know, we go into this thinking we're so awesome and then find out it's not us. Then over the years, Doug has also brought home, this girl's coming down off meth. She has a baby. She's homeless. I can't just leave her in the street. What are we going to do? So she's in our bedroom. Other kids, this girl doesn't have any family life. She came over every day for a year and ate dinner with us. Did her homework and ate dinner with us. Both of these girls, by the way, are now success stories, huge success stories. Mm. Not everybody that we did that for is a success, but there are some that are. Then a few years ago, seven to be exact, God decided again that we weren't done. I've said many times, no more kids, no more men, no more pets. That's it. When these are gone, I'm done.
Kids, men, or pets?
Pets, okay. Yeah. When I'm done with this group, I'm done.
That was prioritized.
Yeah, I like how.
And God keeps throwing the kid thing back in my face. So Kenna came to live with us about 6.5 years ago, and we have full guardianship of her, and our life has never been the same, but in a good way.
Mm. Awesome. How about you?
All right, so back to that football stuff, right? So I was involved in football locally here for, I don't know, close to 20 years. Started out with coaching on the Red Bluff Buccaneers back in the day, where I don't know whether you guys were familiar with that or not. But I was coaching midgets, and that was like 7th and 8th grade, right? So got pretty involved in that and had a chance to move up to high school because I was coaching with a couple of people, I don't know, that they went there, and I ended up over there, prepared or not. So I was like beyond involved in football. Like, it was my God. I mean, football, football season lasts for what, 3 months, sort of, right? And not for this dude, right? I could make football last for 13 months out of a year. I loved football, and I loved coaching football, and I loved being with the kids, right? So one day, I got a route change on my bread route. And guess what I ended up with? I ended up with Wetter Hall. You guys remember Wetter Hall? Right? Yeah, I know you do. Yep. So
what's that? I'm From,
okay,
you're I'm from here. I'm from the Midwest, so.
Wetter Hall used to stand right where the new courthouse stands right now, and it was the juvenile hall that we had here for a long time, right? So I ended up inheriting Wetter Hall as a new stop on my route. And so, you know, being me, I mean, it's like I don't know nothing about jail or juvenile hall or, you know, so I remember I had to figure out how to get in there, you know, because everything's locked, right? So finally figured out you got to push the button on the wall and then they buzz you in. Well, in the process of going in and out of there on Mondays and Thursdays for quite a ways, I would go into to the kitchen and carrying my two trays of cracked weed or whatever the heck, right? And I'd walk in and the kitchen ladies, you know, they would say, well, just, you know, stack it in the walk-in right there. So anyway, so like I learned how to do that. Well, in the process of that, sometimes there would be two or three or four kids that they would let help in the kitchen, right? And so, like I said, I didn't really know very much about incarceration or, well, kids in trouble for that matter. I was coaching like the good kids, right? So, I don't know, one day this kid goes, hey, Breadman, right? And I kind of like looked at him and then I looked at the two ladies and nobody said nothing. So I figured, hey, what's up? So I started talking to these kids, right? And then over the course of going in and out of there, I would walk in and they would have the roll-up door from the kitchen out to the day room open sometimes. And I would walk in carrying my two trays of cracked weed, and the kids were like crows. You'd walk in and they'd go, Breadman! Right? And I go, hey, what's up? Right? And so, I don't know, one thing leads to another, and now staff is kind of seeing that. So one day, somebody that worked there goes, hey, Doug, says, have you ever thought about working as extra help here at Juvenile Hall? And I kind of like looked at him and was like, no. you know, for that matter, I mean, I've already got a 12, 13 hour day being Breadman. And, you know, I already told you I was doing football 13 months out of the year. So who in the world would have time to do that? So I told him no. And then they kept asking, and I ended up coming home and I told Sue, I go, man, these guys are relentless, man. They just, you know, they're not going to let me tell them no. And she goes, well, I think you ought to fill out an application and just see where it goes. So I did. So to speed the story up, I ended up becoming hired, and I was working as, well, they call it a counselor, but I mean, what are we? Prison guards? I don't know. It's not really the way I rolled. But I remember the tension that I went through with how am I going to balance a 12-hour day job and football and working in a whole new setting, like working with the in trouble kids, right? So I had to, I was smart enough to know that I couldn't do it at all. So it came down to where I had to like make a choice. So am I gonna give up football that I love, or am I gonna go to work working with the in trouble kids? And I remember that, man, that was a real struggle for me. And I ended up making a decision that, you know what, I think it's time to move on to the next stage of my life or whatever, right? And so right about that time, Sue got breast cancer. And I remember, I think it was on the team that you were on, Jake, right? I had to tell everybody that, sorry, but I got to go home and take care of my wife, right? So that kind of, I think God kind of nudged me out of football. But I also think that he had something bigger and better in store for me. And I didn't see it at the time, But when I finally made that decision that, you know what, you know, like these kids connect with me. Like, I don't know why, but they just do. And guess what? I kind of connect with them, right? And it's like, I shouldn't be connecting with these kids, right? And then I look back at my life and you know, like the 18 or 19 years that I put into alcoholism. It was like, you know what? I started talking to those kids and they were like strung out on meth at 17 years old, right? And I would listen to their stories and it was like, dude, I'm connecting with some of that. And one thing leads to another, and I finally just pull the plug on football and I go, I'm going there. And looking back on that, I guarantee you, I know that God had a plan and God put me through what I needed to know to be effective in that arena, right? So I don't know how much of this story you want to hear, but why don't you go to the next thing?
Do you guys want to hear more? Are you asleep? Okay.
Everybody out there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of questions, but keep going. This is good.
Okay, so...
I mean, just really quickly, let me just do this.
All right.
A couple of things I've heard, because just as we're thinking about application, because when I hear and talk with them, we spent quite a bit of time just talking. I'm always, like, really encouraged, challenged, you know, also by hearing their lives and the sacrifices they've made, and knowing that they're not saying these things to make us feel that way either. You know, it's, like, genuine. But I heard that three things that I heard just from both of you that, you know, that love really has been a way of life for both of you. I mean, you have lived your lives on the basis of love. I mean, you've loved not only your own kids, but you've loved, because by the way, I've met both of their children, and their kids are great and they love them. And so it's been neat to see that they didn't sacrifice their own families for other people too, because I think that's a challenge sometimes, but love is there. I also heard both of you were basically responding to life circumstances that you found yourselves in and seeing that God, later on, definitely knowing that God was at work. You know, so these opportunities arise and, you know, and we don't know exactly why they happen, but looking back now, you can say, oh, okay, God was clearly at work.
Totally.
Everybody see that too, right? And then the third thing was that you said something bigger and better, you know, that at the time, it probably didn't feel like giving up football or sacrificing, you know, being able to be an empty nester and do whatever you want now, you know, sacrificing those things for something bigger and better. Really, it was like God really wants you to flourish. And when you submit yourself to God's will, you will end up flourishing. Like the happiness and the joy that you've experienced because of that is probably more so than if you had just stayed doing the, you know,
absolutely,
same old thing. So does everybody, that makes sense? Yeah, okay. So yeah, get back to the story. Let's go.
All right, so... I don't even know how much time we got, but I want to.
We have
at
until
least...
2 after in the afternoon. Everybody here is really. Yeah, really. We're just gonna let the 11 o'clock service join us.
See
like,
the clock
sit down
right there now, right? Yeah, you guys just fill in.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to tell you a story of one night that I was working in the hall, right? And it was like 10 o'clock at night, and everybody's supposed to be in the room, and you know, lights out, go to sleep. But as staff, we have to, you know, walk by every 15 minutes and do like a check to make sure that nobody's swinging from the roof or beating somebody else up, right? So I remember that night, I was, you know, walking down the hallway and I'm lifting up the little flap thing and, hey, dude, what are you guys doing, right? And they go, Breadman, come in. And I go, no, it's 10 o'clock, man. So we got to, you know, it's lights out. So I'd make another round 15 minutes later, and I would go to that same room. And they go, Breadman, come in. We want to talk to you. And I thought, holy cow, man. I mean, if I do that, you know, the supervisor's going to find out, and then I'm going to be in trouble and on, right? So I decided, what the heck? I got a key to that room, right? So I open it up, and I go, so what are you guys doing? And he goes, well, we want to talk to you. And I go, well, you know, like in 14 minutes, I got to make another lap and look in everybody else's room, right? So I get in there, and And I go, so, like, what do you want to talk about? And this one kid goes, Breadman, why don't we have church in juvenile hall? And I looked at that kid, and I thought to myself, you got to be freaking kidding me. You know? You guys are like the bad kids, right? Like, so this kid goes, no, seriously, he says, why don't we? And I go, well, I didn't know that you did or you didn't, right? And so this kid goes, you know the boss. He says, go talk to her and find out why we don't. So I was like, okay. So I went and I talked to the boss lady, right? And I'm talking to Lou, and she says, Doug, I don't know what you're talking about. We got this lady that shows up on pretty sure the last Saturday of the month, and she comes in and does something that, you know, kind of like church. And so it's like, oh, okay, well, there's my answer, right? So I take that back there the next time I'm working, and I was talking to those four boys in that room, and I go, hey, I talked to the boss, and she says, what are you guys talking about? Says, we got that lady that comes in, you know, the last Saturday of the month, and it was like a chorus. Breadman, that lady never shows up, right? And so these kids kind of push me on it, and she said, the kids go, see whether you can figure out a way to make church happen in juvenile hall.
Well, and I want to interject. When this was going on, he had given the kids an assignment to write down what they wanted, you know, in juvenile hall. What do you want? And church, how to plan a budget, how to find a job. Not one of them asked for more TV time, more outside time. They just needed direction. That's all they wanted. And I thought that was really powerful, that when you just ask them randomly, and he brought them home and showed me, and it's just like every single kid was missing the same things.
So these kids line me up with an assignment. Breadman says, you know a lot of people, right? Says, why don't you go out and see whether you can find some people in the community that, you know, we would like to come in and like do some form of church in the hall. And it's like, well, yeah, I know a lot of people, right? So I go to here and I go to here and I talk to this church and that church and, you know, around. And do you know what kind of response I got? And so I took that back to those kids and I go, hey, I went to bat for you. I talked to a lot of different churches and a lot of different people. And sorry, but nobody was interested, right? And I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's messed up a little bit. Mm. So these kids kept bugging me. And one day this one kid goes, Breadman, why don't you do it? Yeah? Why don't you do it, Breadman? And it's like, I don't see no sticker on my shirt that says that youth pastor, none of that stuff, right? And they go, Breadman, so we like listening to your stories. And so they kind of broke me down and ended up, I decided that, okay, well, what the heck, right? So I came up with some story about David and Goliath, or I don't know, some story that most boys can connect with. And I remember I told him that story, and I had like, I don't know, 18, 20 kids sitting in the classroom doing that, right? And they, for some reason, like ate that up. And they go, Breadman, so you need to do that again, right? And it's like, that's not my job, you know. So they kept pushing me, and I was forced out of my comfort zone to actually come up with, I don't know, what we called it, church in the hall, right? And let's see, where am I going? Help me.
Well, from there, I can tell you that that was pretty successful. Doug did that on his own for quite a while. And we did eventually partner with some other churches and did get a schedule set up. And it's kind of, I think, fallen off a little bit right now. But there were other churches that did partner. But then the kids were going, well, what do we do when we get out? Where do we go? And I can remember meeting at La Corona with Aaron Maringer and Tiffany, another one of our girls, and discussing it. What are we going to do? And so they did something that, I don't know who named it. May have been Aaron. Church on the Outs. And so the kids couldn't really connect with coming to a church and sitting and doing what we do every Sunday, but they still wanted more. So at first we had it at our home, and it went okay, but some of the kids he had at that time were really borderline, really
like,
bad.
Like almost scary.
And Jimmy was young still then, and I just didn't think that that was the best influence for him, having these kids come in. And him looking up to them, because he did. He thought they were cool, and you know, they'd sit around talking, yeah, my grandma hasn't been to prison now for, gosh, quite a while. And it's like stuff that we'd never, ever heard when we were growing up, and I just didn't think he needed that. So then First Church of God let Doug use their sanctuary for quite a while, and he did Church on the Outs there. And now they've moved to Starbucks, and they meet there once a week. And he just meets with whoever shows up, and they pretty much talk about whatever. It's not a traditional church service like we're used to. But just kind of a check-in for a lot of kids that don't have anybody to check in with. They can go there once a week. They all also have our number on speed dial, so they call us at all hours of the day and night. But a lot of times it's just to check in and say, hey, bread man, I'm doing good.
So you guys planted two churches, is what you're saying. And you planted one in the juvenile hall, and then you also have church.
Yeah, but not on purpose.
Yeah, but not
on purpose. Yeah.
Do you hear that?
Not on purpose. So back to your how to wreck your life in the best possible way. So I want to kind of finish up real fast here on this story. So I had to go back and I had to tell those kids that, sorry, nobody was interested. And they said, Bradman, why don't you do it? And so I did. Well, guess what? A little while later, there was a lot of people coming up to me in the community going, hey, Doug, I hear you're doing something in juvenile hall. And I go, yeah, I work there. They go, no, something like ministry or something. And I go, well, I guess, right? And so these people started asking, you know, how do I get involved in that? Wow, that's really cool. Like, I might be able to do something like that. And it's like, well, bring it on, right? So this is the lesson that I learned in my life. I learned that God had prepared me for all of this story that I just told you. And God was waiting for me to do my part. And when I stepped up and, you know, came out of my comfort zone and tried to do what I knew that God was asking me to do, all of a sudden, we had all kinds of help, a lot of different churches, not just like one or two, but like a lot. And at one time, we had 35 approved ministry team members that we all took turns, you know, we took, you know, a Sunday or a Wednesday or whatever. So how did God wreck my life in the best possible way? Well, I'll tell you something. If those kids wouldn't have pushed me out of my comfort zone, I think my Christianity would have been pretty darn stagnant. I found something on Facebook, I don't know, I sent it to you, Luke, something about the church is not an audience. The church is an army to be motivated. And I thought, you know what? What if we could do that? What if we could all step outside of our comfort zone? Because that's what it's going to take. What if we took a chance and did what God was calling us to do?
That's powerful. Let's stand up together. If you can stand. So you can sit. I'd love to invite Sue to pray for us. Just for anybody in the room that maybe that connects with. The idea, again, I was just writing down some different things that I heard. And really there's maybe five really good, easy applications. Number one, I think living our lives as people who are grounded in love, just being more loving. Then also responding to life circumstances, in your, wherever you're at. I mean, whatever you do. So if you work as a teacher, or if you're an insurance agent, or you're a realtor, or you're a, you're a stay-at-home dad or a stay-at-home mom, or whatever it is you do, might your place in life actually have opportunities for the kingdom of God? I think it does. So, I guess responding to those as you see needs arise. Also, I think living with the idea that bigger and better is what God wants for you. He wants you to flourish, and it might not feel that way when you get invited to sacrificing things that you love, but ultimately God is calling us to things that are ultimately about flourishing, human flourishing. And I loved, Doug, how you said step out of your comfort zone and take a risk. That's a huge challenge for us. And then finally, I just had this question for us, so like I think as I hear them speaking, it kind of seemed like you're both, you didn't say this, but your life is modeling this idea of we need to keep our eyes open and see where God's at work around us, and to really ask the question of how can we join God's work? And how can we partner with the Holy Spirit in whatever area of our lives we're in, whether you're a student or whether you're whatever it is. So Sue, would you pray for just us as a community to be able to respond to those things?
Sure.
We love that.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for calming the jitters and hopefully getting a point across that we know that there's a lot of work to be done, and it's going to take a lot of workers to do it, and that everyone here has a job and a place and something that they can do. It may not be preaching on Sunday mornings, but it certainly can be handing out water on Friday. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the listening ears and for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.